Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. It's cold here in Fairbanks.
We touched down to 26 below, finally.
Yeah, it was 33 below, coming down the hill.
Nice.
Going by the bank.
Nice.
So it's that time of year.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because it creates opportunities for us to have this rich and interesting experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I was down in Anchorage last weekend and talking with some people who were not from Fairbanks, have not lived in Alaska very long, and they were just so blown away by the fact that this is what we do all day, every day. This is our lives, for winter at least.
So one of the tricks of having an interesting life is to do interesting things and put yourself into positions where it's an interesting thing. And it's an uncomfortable thing. Interesting, you switch that to uncomfortable. I heard a report recently on the radio driving into work. I think it was yesterday, actually. And it was about horror and why people are attracted to horror films or haunted houses or scary stuff. And one of the reasons for this is, and one of the things that they notice about this is that usually it's a shared experience. You're doing it with someone else. I mean, people do it alone. It's possible, but that's exception. That's not the rule. The rule is you'll go with someone else. So almost no one does a haunted house by themselves. They go with someone else.
With a group.
Yeah, or just even someone that one other person that they like a lot. Because the two times a year where haunted houses are available or a haunted house experience is Halloween, the month of October, and February, which is the Tunnel of Love.
Uh-huh. Right? That could be haunted house, correct.
And there's skeletons and freakiness going on. And it's scary, and then it brings people together.
Uh-huh.
Right. So there's this shared experience that, you know, makes life richer. Let's just say it that way. And I don't want to get sidetracked into this horror film thing because I hate scary movies. They're just my nervous system's too sensitive. I'm a sucker for a scary movie. A jump scare blows me up every time.
No, I'm right there with you. I used to do horror as a kid, and now it's just I can't stomach it. I don't like to think that way.
I ran a blood sugar monitor while I watched a mountain climbing movie.
Oh, goodness.
And in the end, it was fine. Nobody died, but I didn't know that. I mean, I did know that because they're not going to make a movie about this guy going up, climbing up this cliff and then falling and dying, right? That's a kind of a morbid movie. And so he came out fine. Nonetheless, when I watched this thing, and this was like, you know, a documentary. This wasn't like made to scare me. My blood sugars rose up to a 170. And not because I ate anything, just because I was afraid.
Yeah, your body was going into that stress response.
Yeah. So the thing I want to talk about today is how to set it up to where our lives are better.
Yep.
This is our happiness project.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to improve our experience of happiness? Because the fact of the matter is the world is full of disaster. They're just piled up all around us.
Yeah.
And there's an epidemic more than ever of people being overwhelmed. That's probably the best word for this thing, is overwhelmed. They usually, when they do the research, they usually talk about unease, anxiety, fear, depression, those kinds of things. But those are all little aspects of this overall feeling of out of control, overwhelmed. It's too much. There's too much going on. And then people either shut down and hide at home because they're overwhelmed, or they start thinking, well, I better get mine right now because who knows where this is going. And so they start doing, you know, self-destructive stuff. eating things they shouldn't eat, doing things they shouldn't do, just so you could feel better for a minute. Mm-hmm. And we're going into drugs now.
Yeah.
So people do the drugs all the time because, I mean, people who do drugs do them to feel better. Let's just be clear about that. They're not doing it to feel worse. They're trying in whatever way they have to improve their mood. God bless them. They're doing what they're taking action, right? Now, the problem with the drug thing is it doesn't last and it doesn't work. What comes up must come down. The higher up you go, the more you crash down, and the more it actually makes a problem worse. Now, if drugs worked, I'd say let's do drugs, except for the drugs that don't work. They really don't help. Now, in the short run, they'll help. In the long run, they won't. And I'm including legal drugs as well as illegal drugs. Those selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, Prozac, and Wellbutrin, and all those things, it's the same story for them. They work at first, and in the long run, they don't. So the best what you can do is you're going to take the edge off while you're working stuff out and trying to come up with a pattern of life that works better than the one you were using before, and you're doing things to take care of yourself better than you were before. Now, maybe that's how you'd rationalize using these things, but usually what it does, it just makes you feel better, and then, you know, you just kind of grind on with the same old pattern that you ever did. It's rare that a doctor will sit down and try to help you figure out how to live better. That's why we're doing this show. The real solution to this is to live better. But we have to be clear and careful about what we're actually shooting for. We call it a happiness project. We're not actually shooting for this, woohoo, I'm happy.
No.
That's not it. That's a blip. It goes up and down. It doesn't
contentment.
Count.
You just want contentment. A baseline of, it's okay. And if it's not okay, I'm still going to be okay because I'm taking care of myself and what I can control.
Yeah, and you hit the right word right there, control. If you have a sense of control, that is, not that you're totally on top of things and everything's in control, because that doesn't happen, but you get a sense that I can work through this.
Yep.
I can do it.
Yep.
Somehow or other, I'm going to get through this thing and it's going to be okay. If you got that sense, then there's hope. Then you got a good chance of being able to move through this thing, right? And how do you get that sense? By actually being able to control stuff around you. You make decisions and things kind of come your way, right? And how do you do that? Well, it's practice. It's exactly what it is. It's practice. And people learn it from their parents or not. Lots of times they don't learn it from their parents because their parents are basically, you know, victims of the society we have. And they don't really learn how to manage things.
Well, not to their own fault. I don't think the information or the tools or the awareness was even that as available as it is currently. Like, in the last maybe 15 years, we've had this huge rush on mental health. We've had, in the last 7 years, this huge focus on the gut microbiome, the gut-brain axis. So each few years, we're just advancing more and more and more. So to, you know, think that your parents or your parents' parents could have done anything differently.
You're right. Junk food that people eat is going down. The amount of food in fast food is going down. The amount of alcohol people are drinking is going down. There is a sea change that's taking place right now.
Yes.
Now, it's in fits and starts. There's lots of people that live on junk food and fast food and guzzle alcohol. Like, you know, fish drinks water, right?
Right.
So there's that. But those people are becoming less and less because what's happened is we've been able to see this as a society that this strategy of life doesn't work. It results in death, destruction, and despair. That's mm-hmm. a key one we're talking about right now, that sense of despair mm-hmm. where things don't work.
Yeah, alcohol is a depressant. Alcohol, if you have too much of it, can really not make you feel that great.
Nope.
And instantaneously, in the short term, it gives you that liquid courage. But in the long run, not very good for you.
Yeah, not good for you.
Same with sugar.
Same with sugar.
Gives you that instantaneous high. I can do anything. I can
Same
tackle
thing.
The day.
They're kissing cousins to mm-hmm. each other. They're, mm-hmm. they're not the same thing, but they're in the same category.
Yes.
Yeah. So the thing that I want to focus on today is, let me get down right down to it. What we're shooting for is that sense of, we call it happiness. It's not really happiness. It's a sense of control, a sense of satisfaction, a sense of hope, a sense of like, I'm just going to come out all right. That feeling, that's what we're shooting for. We're shooting for that. So the fact of the matter is that feeling will be influenced by the stuff that we think, the stuff that we do, the stuff that we eat, the stuff that's around us for sure. But the actual experience is in the moment. Because it is, in fact, nowhere else but in the moment. That is the only place that it is. So the only place we're ever going to succeed is in the moment. And it turns out that in the moment is the only moment we actually have. Everything else is made up. Mm-hmm. Everything else is some kind of imagination thing that you're doing.
Neither here nor there.
So the objective is to feel better in the moment. Now, I'm not saying don't think about the future and don't think about the past. What I'm saying is spend more time in the moment feeling and experiencing the moment. And this is not some kind of woo-woo, you know, magical thinking thing. This is really just very, very practical advice. And here's the reason why. Is because our job as a consciousness in charge of this community that we live in, the community of cells, a community of microbes, all of us working together trying to make the best life we can, our job is, as the consciousness of this collective here, is to make good decisions, mm-hmm. the best decisions we can. That's what we need to do. Now, in order to make those decisions, you got to think about stuff. Yeah, this is duh, but it isn't. It turns out that people a lot of times don't think at all. They just, you know, do stuff out of rote or impulse or whatever.
Yeah, do it on an impulse. Do it on a whim, because that's what's going to get them the happiness fastest. And they're not looking at the long-term residual results of these decisions.
Good. So in order to get something done, because otherwise it's just all piecemeal, what you need to do is you need to block time. If it's important to you in your life, you should block time for it. You should block time for sleeping.
Block time for exercise.
Yeah.
Block time to have a mindful meal so you're not feeling like you didn't eat.
Yeah, block time for it. So this thing where you think about stuff, my advice is to block time for it, is make a schedule where at some point during the week, once or twice or three times, you literally pause for a moment and think about your life. And you don't have to do this, but one of the things that's helpful is to write it down.
Yep.
As keep track of your thoughts about this. So to, you know, get a notebook or some kind of diary or something to write in, and then just simply reflect on the direction of your life, the things that you're working on, the projects that you care about, the experiences that you're looking for, and then simply reflect on how are we doing? Have I got forward on this thing? What's the obstacles? What's the opportunities? And also just to pay attention physically emotionally as well, but physically in particular, how you're doing. Because if you can pay attention to your body, the chances you're going to be able to make some kind of adjustment or go in and get something fixed that breaks is way better. If you ignore that thing, then it turns out that usually in the end it's going to be the thing that kills you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Now, here, I'm giving you advice exactly opposite of what people learn. Because what you've learned is, if I pay attention to every little twinge, it cripples me because I can't move forward. So if I can ignore the twinges and just do it anyways, then I get the experience. And that is true. So this is a tricky thing to do. You can't let it stop you in your tracks, but you got to be aware of it and then make adjustments on the fly. Okay? That.
Yep.
Now, let's go back to our beginning of the conversation, which was doing things that are interesting. Remember, I talked about going to the haunted houses and watching horror films, which was a lame example because I don't know why I picked that one. But just it's something that's hard mm-hmm. that you do in order to kind of get an experience. And then it's better if you share that experience with other people. Better thing to do would be to go like on a trip to some place that was interesting. But traveling's hard. You don't know, you know, necessarily how to get there and how to maneuver through the airport and how to get a taxi in Spain or whatever it is you're going to be doing, right? There's going to be challenges. You know, these are small challenges and you're able to overcome them, but nonetheless, they're challenges. And then we do hard things in order to have the experience to be able to be able to tell a story about it. And that is absolutely true. That is one of the key features of having a life that's well-lived is you do hard things. I didn't really know this as a kid growing up. I just thought our job is to kind of make things easier on ourselves. I don't know why I thought that, but it turns out that is not. My thought was 180 degrees off from what it really
is.
It's
weird that humans want to suffer. We want to struggle.
That's where the juice is.
And then we want to overcome. And that's where we get the most reward. When we have defeated the bear, when we have killed the lion.
You know, it's funny you mentioned bear, because the first time this was put very bluntly to me was I attended a lecture of a guy that went north up into the wilderness where there was no roads and no people, no anything. And it wasn't me, but somebody in the audience asked him, why'd you do this? He says, because life is better when you make things hard. And I was like, what? He said, no, really. Yeah, life is better when you make things hard because it's more memorable. It's vivid. And I went and set myself up to have extremely vivid experience by doing this. Now, he was actually hunted by a bear.
Oh, goodness.
And he didn't have a gun. And threw rocks at the bears. Kid you not. It's a true story. And survived. Was not eaten. And got picked up. But he spent 2 days of terror.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
We don't have to go to that extreme.
That's across the line for me.
But in, you know, keeping our lives hard, we choose to live in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yeah, that's true.
We choose to live in 30 below half of the year and 18 hours of darkness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Chicago last weekend to visit some family, and we went ice skating. Why? Not because we wanted to go from point A to point B and skates was the best way to get there. Uh-uh. We went and went out of our way to make our lives harder to have an experience to be able to, you know, to talk about, to you know, enrich our lives. And it did. It absolutely did. It was fabulous. Patrick ran around like a maniac and practically didn't actually, but nearly knocked over people. It was just horrid, actually. He got in trouble what he got. He got in trouble. But it nonetheless was rich and vivid.
Yes, exactly.
Without a doubt, right?
Yep.
And so the kind of the key thing I want to stress this point again is the thing we're shooting for, that sense of satisfaction, life well lived, is in the present moment. So what you got to do is occasionally get in the present moment and actually feel your feelings
and think
your thoughts and notice things that are coming from your body.
And be aware of your surroundings and be aware of all the information that your body is taking in. Sight, sense, touch.
This is key. I cannot stress how important this is. This is the thing.
Yeah.
What we're looking for is this. Mm-hmm. If you don't slow down and take time to think about it, you will miss it. It will go by and you will not even notice you had it.
Well, okay, so going back to my conversation with these out-of-towners in Anchorage last weekend, they're like, what is there to do in Fairbanks, Alaska? And I started talking about the light and how the light falls on everything in our town so much differently than it does in Anchorage. In Anchorage, it's, you know, more urban crawl, bigger buildings, not as much tree coverage. But here in Fairbanks, we have these hills that kind of nest us into this little valley. And then we have these boreal forests that are popping up all throughout town. And these birch trees and the golden hour that comes in and the blue light that comes in. And if you go a little bit north, you can see the light touch the mountains in both directions. And for these people who have grown up in the lower 48 in big cities, who are used to shows, who are used to all of the, you know, things to do, I'm just a small town girl talking about the light. And how entertaining that is.
You're right. You know, for people who don't know that what you're talking about is the thing that's special about Fairbanks.
Right.
It's life in the wintertime, and it's the light. If somebody moves away, it's what they miss most.
Yep.
It's the thing that's most vivid. It is the hardest time of year to live. It's 30 below or 33 below coming down the hill.
You can see how dense and thick the air is with the ice fog.
But the quality of light is absolutely magical. And so most of the time people say, well, I probably could live in the cold, but not the dark. And you know, it's funny, you and I both know this because we live here.
Mm-hmm.
The dark is not the thing in the wintertime. It's the light.
It's the light.
It's that weird light because the dusk and dawn take an hour and a half.
Yep.
They're not a 7-minute thing where it goes from dusk. It's an hour and a half process, and it puts this golden, beautiful golden light in the air that is absolutely magical.
And even in the summertime, the light, the constant light, but in different points of the early
morning. The winter light, I think, is better.
I prefer winter light myself, but I can just reflect on to a few solstice walks I've had down here on First Avenue, down the Riverwalk. I like to take a walk at like 2 in the morning and just notice how the light touches every little thing and how all of our trees, all of our greenery, all of our flowers, they're just raging all season long. So those are the things that I find are best to do in Fairbanks.
This is what caused me to fall in love with Fairbanks, is this thing. The way the light is, the way the air is, the way the quality of life here is, it's a magical place. It's like another planet.
Yeah.
You go down in the Southlands and it's a thing and it's lovely. There's all kinds of fun stuff to do down there and experiences to have and it's great. But when you come up here, it's a different thing. It's a different thing and it's for me, it's richer.
Right.
For me,
because
there's
you're struggling more. In some seasons more than not.
We did a walk through the woods about 2 weeks ago, and we were about 2 hours walking. It was just an in-town walk, but we didn't hardly see any houses because we managed to get through my neighborhood. Anyways, two more detail. We did this walk, and by the time we got to the end of the walk, once again, the whole joy of living in Fairbanks was freshened up because the way the air is, and the way the light is, and the way the snow reflects the light, the whole thing, the whole
and
experience.
And then to know that you are out here in the temperatures, in the snow, bundled up, doing this for fun.
Yeah. You know, that thing, like you see people, like the advertisements about Christmas and Santa Claus and all that stuff, there's this feeling of winter with the snow and everybody's warm and glowing. That's our life.
We live in a little Hallmark.
We live it snow globe. For real. people like it's something you see on postcards. You don't even know. No, it's a real thing. We actually do it, and there's that glowy warmth that comes and brings people together.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
And people think that happiness is just so combustible. It's just something that fires and it just happens and it's explosions and fireworks and butterflies all simultaneously. And as I get older, the happier I am, the more constant things are. There isn't any upheaval, good or bad. It's just even keel and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you're right. It's in the middle.
Yeah.
It's not the highs and it's not the lows. It's
in the middle. Throughout this year, I've had a few really good vacations of incredible moments that I never thought I'd experience. But the happiest moments that I have from this year are riding my bike with my daughter down First Avenue, or on the soccer field, just watching her before practice even starts, before I start yelling at a bunch of kids, just watching her kick around. And it's just like, I find myself searching for these big events to fulfill me so much, to going to these shows or having these dinners or having these large events. And it's not there anymore for me. It's in my backyard.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is like, oh, man.
It's funny where it comes up.
Yeah.
I remember a couple days ago looking at a bowl of oranges on my counter, and they were just beautiful. Something about those oranges, it made a magic moment. It was the simplest little thing, looking at oranges and this richness of, the life I'm living now, and then memories of the past mixed in, and it just was one of those things. It just like burned into my memory. Mm-hmm. This bowl of oranges in a Christmas bowl. That was the other thing, too. It was in the Christmas bowl. And it just had a great Christmassy feel to it. And there's this moment of just that satisfaction, like a life well lived.
Right.
And teeny little moments that happen out of nothing.
Out of nothing. They didn't just are so random.
But they're not completely out of nothing, because if my guts were in misery, I would be thinking about my heartburn and how bad I feel instead of being in the moment appreciating the oranges. And so it's really important to be able to sleep well at night, because then you create the opportunity to have these magic moments. And be able to eat good food, because you create the opportunity to have these magic
moments.
And
exercise. So.
And honestly, when you get down to it, these magic moments are constant. That's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about mindfulness. We never did mention meditation once, because, I mean, meditation is great, but the meditation, what it does is it slows things down so that you can pay attention. And you're simply blocking time. You're saying, I'm going to sit and just pay attention. I'm going to close my eyes and not let anything get in the way. I'm just going to be completely in the moment, 100% paying attention. This is good practice.
Oh, yeah.
You want to become good about noticing the moment? That's an excellent way to practice becoming in the moment. But you want to get down to where the real payoff is. It's not sitting in the meditation. It's moving through your life. And because you practice, now you're more attuned
moving
into...
Moving through your life, but in a way that you're present, in a way that you're not... fearful or anxious of the future, or regretful or remorseful of the past, or proud or eager.
There's no end of stuff to worry about in the big picture. Our brains are designed to be able to see this kind of things, and there's no stopping it. So I'm not saying don't worry about stuff going on, because you're just going to worry about it anyways.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get off this podcast, and I'm going to worry about all the patients I have to reschedule and worry about what we're going to do when we have all the new patients coming in.
But take a moment from time to time and reflect, and you'll find that your life is better. You want to talk about actually getting this happiness thing to go for real? You have to. You are required to slow down from time to time. And
mindfully do it, your body will do it for you. Because you've been running and gunning for so long, and it'll just hit a wall. And then you'll feel anxious. Then you'll feel depressed. Then you'll feel like, I can't manage this anymore. And for me, I had this sense of just needing to crawl out of my own skin. I couldn't be in my body anymore. I didn't want to be the person who I was anymore. Then I started giving myself more of what I needed and stopped seeking it from outside sources, stopped seeking it from the food and the dopamine hits there, or the social media and the dopamine hits there, or the men and the dopamine hits there. I started actually fueling myself with exercise, sleep, diet. And then all of those three, little by little, I was able to give myself more and more. And then I was able to give people around me a little bit more and more. And then, I'm being generous. That makes me feel good. And the people I am close with feel good, and we all feel good.
Yeah, we create a bubble of happiness, or I don't know what word to put on it, that sense of quiet satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. That's the reason why we do this show, is because we want to inspire people, and we want to coach people on how to live better lives. Because otherwise, what the heck are we doing the show for? There's no point.
What are we doing in the community? What are we doing? Like, that, I feel, is such an obligation and a duty for us to take care of our sisters and our brothers and to inspire and to lead and to be the change that we want to see. There's so much doom. There's so much dismay. There's so much, how are we going to get to the next generation? And that's so problem-based, and to be solution-based is to be mindful and to be conscious of your interactions with yourself and everybody around you. Dr. Looper, I think we're over.
All right, we better cut it off.
This is such a good conversation. We'll probably pick it up again at some point.
All right, thanks, Haley.
Thanks, Dr. Looper.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.